next presenting to us on temporal variation in water and carbon and upland upland reduction in soil.
It's a long one. Yeah. Hi everyone. I'm Kaylin Hodges. I'm from the University of Georgia. I'm gonna present some of my research for my master's. So before we get started, thank NSF and the CZO network, the Calhoun Critical Zone Observatory, my advisor Aaron Thompson, my committee member Dan Markowitz, and my hydrology expert slash friend John Mallard. So just to get started, a brief overview of the Calhoun CZO. It is in the southeastern Piedmont of the United States, located in South Carolina, highly eroded from post-settlement agricultural practices. So most of my research takes place in first-order watersheds of the Calhoun. They are, again, highly eroded, so there is a lot of sand at the footslope position, and there is a lot of clay at the top. They're a couple hectares in, Just to get started, we all know that iron reduction happens in upland soils, but it's hard to quantify, mostly because it's hard to understand when oxygen exclusion happens and when carbon input happens. As we know, iron reduction is controlled in upland soils mostly by oxygen and carbon, and this exerts controls on other key nutrient cycling processes like phosphorus and, So with that in mind, my goal was to characterize the spatial and temporal variation of iron reduction in upland soils using the conceptual model that iron reduction is mostly influenced by oxygen exclusion from soil wetness. So I hypothesized that significant iron reduction occurs in first-order watersheds in response to extreme rainfall events or periods of low evapotranspiration, i.e. periods when there is a lot of water in the soils. So my methods are long, so just to briefly summarize, I selected areas of different soil moistures over the course of a year using electromagnetic induction, and then I deployed the redox probes, distributed across those soil moistures, calculated potential for iron reduction, and then interpolated that across the landscape and arc map. So my first step is to characterize the iron, the soil moisture in the soils and the watersheds. I did this using a Dulum 2 EMI probe, which measures soil-specific conductance to a depth of about 1.5 meters based on how high I held it. I walked across the, I walked with the contour of the three watersheds that I focused on, and then interpolated that data in ArcMap. And high specific conductance is related to high soil moisture, which is indicated in blue in these in the map at the bottom. And then red is low specific conductance, which is related to low soil moisture. I did these surveys bi-monthly over the course of a year and aggregated those into a map that looks a little bit like something like this, where I was able to look at soil moisture patterns, relative soil moisture patterns over the course of the year. So this purplish color in the middle is areas that remained relatively wet over the course of the year, probably related to soil clay content. The light blue indicates areas that are relatively wet over the course, or relatively dry over the course of the year. The yellow dots are the 100 distributed soil sampling points across those relative wetness. All of the maps, just to note, are kind of tilted on the side for best vantage point for the 3D maps. So the stream that runs across like this is actually more north-south, just for notice. So those 100 sampling points that are right here, I deployed passive redox probes that I developed, steel iris probes, which are 90 centimeter long rusted steel rods that provide an easily reducible form of iron 3. They're in the soil for 2 weeks, and then after 2 weeks, if there are reducing conditions, then some of that iron 3 is reduced and removed, exposing the steel beneath. I take pictures of each quarter of the rod, and then in Photoshop can select the pixels that indicate reduction, which then can provide a quantified version of potential for iron reduction. So we tested this method out in other spots, particularly across climate gradients in Hawaii, and we found that iron reduction potential, as noted from the steel iris probes, increases with mean annual precipitation. We also have looked at some of the mechanisms that are involved in removing this iron from the steel iris probes, because there have been questions about this. So microbial mediated iron reduction is obviously what we think we're looking at, but other redox reactions might be removing that iron 3 in addition to organic matter chelation. So one of the in-lab experiments that we did was we varied water-filled pore space with in the soil that we installed the rods in, and also live and autoclaved soil. As expected, we had the most iron reduction in saturated soil that is anoxic with active microbes. But we also did find some iron reduction or iron removal in autoclave soil that's oxic. So we looked also at how organic matter, so we did a water extraction of DOM or of OM from Hawaii and diluted it at different rates. We found no real effect of organic matter. It was the same amount of removal. In addition, all of the iron that was in solution after the 2 weeks was iron 2, indicating that's probably not chelation. Probably other redox reactions are in play, but not chelation. So, with that in mind, those steel iris probes we deployed across the watersheds in ecologically significant time periods. The first one was after Hurricane Joaquin, which was in October of 2015. Over the course of 2 days, 25 centimeters of rain fell on the Calhoun CZO, which is a lot, even for a subtropical system. Next was at the end of winter, at the beginning of March, period of low ET, no leaf out yet, but the microbes are getting warmed up. There's a lot of fresh organic matter out there. And then also in June, just like as our drier end member, it was the beginning of a period of less than average rainfall. All the trees are going. It's hot. It was about 90 degrees when I was installing these. So just right into the results. In October and March, we had about the same amount of iron reduction, less in June, as expected. There was more spread in October, but like this is kind of like, well, okay, can we like look at this more? I don't know, it seems kind of like, okay, whatever. So this is, these are the maps of the, so interpolated across the watersheds. Again, you can kind of see there the same spatial patterns in March and October, where there's high iron reduction in the middle stream. There's like that V shape around both in October and March, and then low across the whole watershed in June. I want to note that all of these maps that I'm about to show are on the same scale. So red colors mean that there's less iron reduction, potential for iron reduction. Blue colors, higher potential for iron reduction. So again, we would expect that there's probably something different going on in October and March. So I tried to break it out a little bit more and divided those steel iris probes when I was looking at them in Photoshop into 10 centimeter increments, and found that iron reduction in March was much higher in the top of the soil profile, and then it was much higher at the bottom of the soil profile in October. Pretty much the same low in June. Interestingly enough, there's no significant difference between October, March, and June at the 50 to 60 plus centimeter increments. So this is what it looks like in terms of maps. After the extreme rainfall event in October, there was a lot of iron reduction at the bottom of the profile. We think that this is probably because the BT horizon ends right there, so there is the beginning of the lower hydraulic conductivity BC or C horizon. And so that water is ponding right there, pushing all of the label carbon down and stimulating iron reduction. In March, we have the opposite, probably because all of the label carbon is up high, highest iron reduction between 0 to 30 centimeters. This goes along pretty well with some other research that our lab has been doing. This is iron 2, HCl extractable iron 2. We found that iron 2 is pretty high in the surface soils to about 50 centimeters in a pine forest. So yeah. And then June, low pretty much the whole time. So inclusion, iron reduction is greatest at depth in response to high extreme rainfall events. And it's greatest in the surface soils during the March warm-up. This has some interesting ramifications for iron reduction capacity of soils and thinking about when that carbon might be used up by microbes when they're using iron at the same time. Thank you.
Any questions for Kayla? I'll take prerogative. I have a question.
Okay, yeah.
So your analysis of the rod,
mm-hmm.
is it, what are you using to, what are you analyzing? Is it a particular color?
Yeah, so it's a, yeah, it's a color analysis. So I choose a pin, like for each rod, I choose the colors, the color range that indicates iron reduction. So that gray color, and then, yeah.
Okay, so you're looking at changes in RGB values?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Any other questions for you?
Why do you think there are higher reduction in the surface in March? Is it wetter up there at that point?
So no, it's not the wetness necessarily. It's more the carbon availability, which is then stimulating the microbes, and they're going really fast, and then they're depleting the oxygen. This kind of goes along with some other research that has indicated that in upland soils, it's more carbon availability than water.
Last chance for a question? Well, not really. There's a discussion period at the end. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.